This is for all you Luton Town fans, yeah. Hatters, Hatters, what a great team. Let's show the others that we are the cream. Up the blooming Hatters.
Up the blooming Hatters, yes. Hello, you are listening to the Luton Fans Podcast, the Great Escape Edition. I'm Justin Dealey. Graham Everett is on the line. Graham, describe Wednesday evening in one sentence, please.
Not one sentence, two words. Truly unbelievable.
Dylan?
Utterly unbelievable.
Darren?
Mind-blowing.
What a night it was. Graham and Dylan, you watched it online. Darren and I were lucky enough to be there. There was no room left in the press box. So I sat in the PA box at a safe distance with announcer Matt Crawley and Darren, who was in charge of pumping out the crowd noise. And this was us at full time. If you have cats and dogs near you right now, you have a 5-second warning.
How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm absolutely buzzing after that, Justin. I don't care about social distance. Give me a kiss.
Yes!
Yes, we've done it! Get in! Come on!
Matt? Oh, amazing. Amazing. I can't believe it.
Get in there! Come on!
I cannot believe it.
Oh, my God. I feel ill, but in a good way. We've done it. Wow. Oh, I love football. Then I heard lots of chanting, and I just presumed it was the players who were chanting in the dressing room, but it wasn't. It turned out to be a small gathering of fans outside the main entrance. And again, this is how weird this is. So I then popped out there with my microphone on the end of a 2-metre pole, and I spoke to the fans.
And speak to this man with a beer. Hello, mate. What's your name?
Nigel.
Nigel.
Can't believe it. Can't believe it. It's a miracle. Absolute miracle. We're staying up. Come on to town.
Who wants to play Watford next season? Let's get this man in. What's your name, sir?
My name's Waz.
Waz, talk us through your feelings. How you're feeling at the moment?
I'm feeling really emotional. When it was 3-2, I was driving up. You know, but it's just fantastic for the club.
There is a man here with a Luton Town shirt, which I think they only ever wore once against Sheffield Wednesday away. What? The red shirt. What's your name?
Vince.
Vince, what a night.
Oh, great night. Fantastic night, mate. Brilliant. Look at this day. It's great for the supporters, good for the club. Brilliant.
Guys, I will see you in the Championship next season. Good night. Thanks so much, guys. Thank you. Graham, you were watching it at home online. What was that whole experience like?
Awful. Absolutely awful watching that at home. Especially when one down, I just thought, here we go, it's not going to happen. Pacing up and down in the garden, doing the dishwasher, anything that I could do to avoid almost watching parts of it, just listening to it. Mrs. E watched it. Well, she never watches a game of football, to be perfectly honest with you. But I wouldn't let her go upstairs for superstition purposes.
Really?
And I thought, if we change seats or do anything different now, what could happen? No, we couldn't change seats or anything like that. We couldn't move. We couldn't leave what we were doing. And then, you know, superstitions.
It's interesting because obviously Darren and I were lucky to be there. We had no escape, so it was in front of us and we were watching it every second. Yeah. But being at home, did it actually help because you had a bit of a distraction? I don't know what that was like.
I think in a way it did. It was, the trouble is you wanted to keep your eye on the other results. You had the issue where iFollow is about, you know, a minute and a half behind. So you're very wary of your phone going off because you didn't really want to know what was going on. Distractions were helpful in a way because you could get up, you could go into the garden, you could pace up and down. And you know, but actually watching it on your own without having, you know, being able to discuss it with your friends or have that sort of atmosphere, it's really weird. I think, you know, I don't know how Dylan feels about it.
Yeah, Dylan, how did you feel about it on Wednesday watching it at home online?
Not good. Really didn't enjoy it, and I can't wait to be back at the Kenny. I mean, just obviously the iFollow delay is one thing because I actually, me and my dad and my sister, we just put our phones in the other room because we didn't want any text messages or anything like that. But I think kind of just knowing that this isn't happening right now, that, you know, something has happened in Luton at Kenilworth Road that we don't know about, but it's already happened, as opposed to, you know, being in the stadium and feeling the atmosphere and getting behind the players. It was just felt helpless.
Well, Nathan Jones has worked absolute wonders since his return. We did an extended interview with him a few weeks back, and without doubt, I thought that he was the right man for the job. At the end of the game on Wednesday, once again, I spoke to our manager, Nathan Jones.
9 games, dead and buried, to come back 6, effectively 7-point deficit, to finish then 2-3 points clear of the relegation zone. It just means that the group have just bought into everything. We've worked hard with every day. The most amazing achievement. It's as good as a promotion. It doesn't feel like that now, but it will. Definitely about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, it will. And things. But so proud of the group. So proud of the group. And everything, my staff, the club. And look, the club has a lot to thank for, because it took a lot to probably bring me back. Was it the right decision? I think that's been vindicated. Yes. And for me, I wanted to come back. I wanted this job again because I loved it. I had good success here. I've got a good relationship and I love it. So I'm so blessed to be here.
But it wasn't a free hit. When you came in, you thought, OK, we're struggling. But you came in and you thought, we are going to stay up. And you believed that from day one as well.
I 100% believed that we were going to. At no point did I feel that we weren't going to. We've had to ride, you know, we've had to come through a few little things. But the group bought into everything from day one. They've worked hard. Since the games have happened, we've literally had to walk through them tactically, but they've taken things on board, we've swapped around, they've bought into everything, and the effort, the work rate, but they've got the just rewards because now they are still Championship players.
And the significance between going into League One and staying in the Championship, with everything that's going on, this, I think, was probably the biggest game in the club's history.
It really was. Trust me, I had a meeting yesterday that sent shivers down my spine, so I didn't let anyone else know that. Just me and Gary knew that. But look, I'm so pleased because we are, and that allows us, hopefully, God willing, now, to secure a few of the players to make sure we can move forward. And look, with the financial implications, what it does is bring others closer to us. You know, really, because the budgets, Blackburn, who knows, 25, 30 million budget they would probably have. So now, with the financial, at least that brings them slightly closer to us in the future. But so happy.
Graham, we need to have a little word, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Let me take you back to our last podcast. I'm going to go all journalistic here. Here's what you had to say about Nathan Jones, our heroic manager. Would you have him back?
No.
No?
No.
Even though he did a fantastic job when he was there, and a lot of those players are the players that he signed as well, even though you know that, you're still saying no.
No, I need a manager at my football club that I can trust.
Can you trust any football manager, though?
No, probably not. I probably not, but I think it was just some of the things that he did at that time, the way that he went about it, and the fact that he didn't have to put, you know, when he got the Manager of the Month award, put a Stoke jumper on. That's what did it for me. And I can't forgive that.
Oh, Dylan, you to come on this. Graham, what would you like to say? Explain yourself, please.
Okay, I need to eat some humble pie. I admit I've got it wrong. He's come in. I've listened to what he's had to say, and I think he's very apologetic. I take my hat off to him now. I mean, I know I said I definitely didn't want him out and want a manager I could trust, but to be honest, he's shown in the last 9 games what he can do as a manager, and, you know, I've got it wrong.
Nathan Jones apologised on his first press conference. He apologised on our podcast. Don't hear you apologising, Graham.
You know, 16 points out of 27.
Say sorry!
I am sorry. I'm sorry.
Dylan, let me remind you, and Darren, by the way, didn't give an answer. So he's got out of this one. But Dylan, this is what you said on the last podcast. Would you have him back? Would you want to see him back as manager?
Not a chance. When someone shows such a lack of trust, and I agree with you, Justin, you can't trust football managers because
they have careers and they want to further their careers, but you can still act with integrity. I mean, you look at Graham Jones when he was approached by us when he was at West Brom. He said, no, I'm going to stay till the end of the season because I've made a commitment to West Brom and Darren Moore. Yeah. I'm not going to leave. And even when he left West Brom, he said, no, I'm not going to come in. Mick Harford, you carry on, get promoted. I'm not going to take any of the glory. So you can't trust football managers in general because they have careers. But when someone acts with such a lack of integrity and a lack of respect towards our football club, no way.
Grilling your own mates. This is very, very awkward. Dylan, over to you.
Well, look, I think, you know, I'm really glad that I'm having to eat my words. Look, I think when we appointed him, from a moral point of view, that still stood. But in terms of someone who could come in and get results, you know, there was no one better. Yeah. And I'm really glad that, you know, I'm having to eat my words here because it shows that, you know, we have a board who are way more level-headed than all of us, than most of our fans, and that they make decisions to make us a successful football club.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am sorry. but, you know, he's done a wonderful job. And, you know, when I said that, I knew he's a wonderful football manager because what he's done with us is incredible. Mm. And now he has apologised and he's showed remorse and now, you know, we can move forward together.
The word is redemption. He's done an absolutely amazing job and he deserves all the plaudits that he is getting right now. Darren, you didn't give an answer, but to move back to Wednesday after the game, and this is how bizarre this is, you then set up your decks on the pitch and you DJ'd for the players, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really, really surreal because I got a message from Gary Sweet the day before and he said, if we stay up, he went, let me rephrase that. When we stay up, regardless of how it is, he goes, can you do a playlist on the pitch? And I was like, what sort of music? He went, I want a bit of house, a bit of R&B. I said, I'll do one better. I'll bring the decks down. I said, just get some speakers together because mine are still locked up with someone that works in the NHS, so I can't collect them as of yet. Mm. And then literally that was it. End of the game. Gary's climbed over the chairs. We've had a moment. We've, you know, enjoyed it. And then he was like, right, let's get down the pitch. So went down there, set up, had some little speakers with me, dropped some tunes, had Pelly come and DJ as well.
Yes.
And it was just a great experience. It was really nice to be able to do it. And when I left, you know, the players were asking me to stay, like, can you stay on a bit longer? You know, but you had to think about the residents sort of in Bury Park and the fact is that the car park was shutting at 12. but yeah, what a great experience and what a great time to be a Luton fan, to be able to actually be involved with the celebrations.
It was an amazing night for so many different reasons. It was also surreal as well. So whilst you were spinning the tunes, I spoke to our chief exec, Gary Sweet.
Is it sunk in yet?
We're sat here listening to Shaka Dean with some pliers tease me on the pitch.
sorry, excuse me. Sorry. Cheers, Daz. Yeah. I know it sounds bizarre, but I kind of always had confidence that this would be the situation. I knew always this season there was something about it is always going to be close. You know, when you look at the table now, there's a few points here that a couple of points of comfort, but actually, you know, you're talking of 10 seconds. Christian Wall goes up for the, you know, for yes, what's he doing? If he wants a loan back, he's not going to get it. But seriously, you know, they wanted to win that game tonight. You know, we haven't had an easy game in this nine. Every single club that's come to us have wanted to win the game. You know, Reading woke up when they came to us. We had clubs that felt that they just needed a point and they've chose us as the game to pick. They chose in some ways they chose the wrong one because we've just done it against all odds and, you know, those away performances have been absolutely just magnificent. But, yeah, here we are, Kenilworth Road, without the supporters, and it's a bittersweet experience, Justin, because we want to be celebrating with everybody, you know, here and it feels a little bit hollow. I've got to say, you know, we love this. We know everybody out there is loving what we've achieved, but we'd love them to be here for that.
Pass the Dutch, another great song, by the way. As the chief exec, how relieved are you now that you're going to start next season in the Championship?
I'm relieved I don't have to have so big a begging bowl. I've got to have a little one for next year. But League One would have been really quite difficult for us financially. We'd have lost players. You know, I'm not saying we won't lose players this year, but it's going to be more. It's going to be easier for us to keep those that we want to keep. We want to keep this group together. It's a spectacular group of players. The character is what's got us over the edge, over the end. You know, we're in a position now where we can build on this. We've got the nucleus of a more than a nucleus of a team for next year. We don't need to do an awful lot, as has been proven in the last 9 games, or probably 15, 16 games, I'd say. There's a lot going to happen in football, Justin. There are a lot of corrections in terms of salary caps, PNS rules, financial fair play, that's all going to come in, as well as obviously the points deductions that are going to happen either this season or next season. We're a big player in that now, because, you know, clubs like ourselves and Barnsley, maybe Middlesbrough, are the only, how can I put it, the only clubs that are completely clean in the bottom half of the table. They've done this the right way. And what I mean by that is no disrespect to those other clubs that have spent money, but they're spending more than 100p in the pound of every turnover for players. We're spending about 55, 60p for every pound. You know, we're doing it the right way, and that's really important for our sustainability, our long-term sustainability. And we won't deviate from that. So tomorrow morning when we have a championship meeting and there's Barnsley at the table and there's ourselves at the table, this is a really good thing for football, because we can correct that balance a little bit, because it's been slipping away from us. I felt the game has been slipping away from us for a little bit for the past few years.
Graham, you first. Some really encouraging words there from Gary Sweet. Do you think we're going to be okay next season?
I do. I think we'll be really comfortable next season, if I'm really honest. I think Nathan will probably bring in another coach from where he's been before. But if you look at the league, I think there's some other clubs that are really in financial trouble. I wouldn't be surprised that there's teams that are starting on minus points next season. You look at the teams that have come up, Coventry and Wickham, they're not going to be the strongest. Rotherham. I think this league, this season, the championship, I mean, I heard a report the other day that it's probably the strongest championship this season it's ever been.
Yeah.
And I think next season, I think we'll be more experienced. We've got a bit more nous. Fans will be coming back. And, you know, I think there'll be a lot of Tuesday night games, evening games, with what they're saying with the fixtures today. You know, and we know what the Kenilworth Road's like, in midweek under the floodlights. I don't think we've lost for a long time. But I think we will be comfortable next season. I think we will consolidate. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me in the next 2 to 3 years that we're sitting in those playoffs.
What about you, Daz?
Well, to be fair, I've actually just got off a Zoom video call with Gary Sweet and Nathan Jones. And you know what? You've only got to listen to what the two of them are saying. And the fact is, you know, it really does look bright at Luton. You know, he was saying that there's going to be changes with regards to, obviously, potentially no away fans being allowed in for a short time. Only a percentage of fans might be allowed in after a certain date, because obviously the first 3 games are most probably behind closed doors. But you've only got to listen to how Nathan talks and what he's saying. You know, he's saying that pretty much he only needs to add a couple of additions to the squad.
Yep.
And he said that could be players along with coaching as well. But what he did say, which I thought was good, is that he was saying about that they like to promote within when it comes to the coaches. He's saying Adrian Forbes has stepped up. So, you know, potentially he's going to be staying there. And then with regards to how, you know, what Gary's been saying, you know, it's just like, you know, the way that club is run is absolutely brilliant. And I think coming into next season, I feel so much more confident than I did this time last year, especially with Nathan back at the helm. I really think we could do well next year. Dan.
Well, we've had promotion form in the last 9 games, which I think says something. And Dylan, we've now got the start dates for next season, not too far away, the 12th of September. How are you feeling about the season ahead?
Great. I mean, I think, you know, with a couple of additions, I think centre-half definitely, because I think we've all seen the impact that Cameron Carter-Vickers has had on the team. Obviously, he's on loan. We need to replace him and probably a right back, but you know, this squad has shown the last 9 games, and probably more than 9 games, 15 games probably, that they are good enough to compete in this league, and they are good enough to, you know, I think a successful season for us would be just avoiding a relegation battle, just consolidating in mid-table, bottom half. I think we can do really well and just carry on building.
A lot of confidence here. Just yes or no, talking about next season, the new kits were officially shown today for the first time. Dylan, yes or no on the new kits?
Not a fan.
Oh, here we go, Darren.
I'm not answering that one.
Come on! What do you think about the kits? Yes or no?
I have been told. Listen, I'm not going to give you a one-word answer. No, I'm going to tell you that apparently they look a lot better in the flesh with the fitted ones. The ones that you've seen on the website, apparently colours aren't looking so great. So I will say yes on that basis.
Okay, and Graham?
Love them.
It was quite nice today, looking on the message board, seeing people moaning about the kits. And I thought, you know what? We're actually a little bit back to normality with fans moaning about stuff that doesn't even matter.
Exactly.
That's what I thought. This is the chairman, and I absolutely adore this man. This was me with David Wilkinson on Wednesday night.
But I think I was more nervous before this game than I can ever remember. And I think I was just saying now, but I think it was because we've fought so hard to get where we are and to be that close. And I think, you know, I felt it for them. They deserved it so much. They really did. I mean, and Nathan too, of course.
Oh, it's just one of those nights we're never, ever going to forget.
No, never, never. It's one of those. And I think it ranks there. It's up there with it's up there with the best. Because, you know, football is such a mess at the moment, and there's such a huge disparity between top and bottom, and to have done it, we ended up 19th, I gather. It's incredible.
I know, amazing. I mean, stood here right now as the chairman of this wonderful football club, look at this place. Everyone hates coming here, but we love it so much. How proud do you feel?
Well, I couldn't be more proud. I mean, I think the sadness tonight is that there's nobody here. Can you imagine what the atmosphere would have been like? You know, we've sat at 9 games, and we've at the away games, we've sat 5 people in the main stand at Leeds, you know. And it's weird. A few cardboard cutouts, it's weird.
Player of the season for you, Dylan. Who has been your player of the season?
Oof, Kelly Ruddock. He has been, I think, sometimes, you know, he's not quite at it, but I think people can sometimes underestimate the sheer physical level that he gives us and how that allows people around him to perform.
For me...
And just because he's played every single game, almost.
Yeah, he's been an outstanding servant. He is, without any question, in folklore now at the club. For me, it's Carter Vickers. For me, he's my player of the season. What about you, Daz?
If you look at it as maybe a player that's turned it around, you could look at, you know, Simon Sluger, with the fact is that some of the performances he's been putting in have been absolutely incredible. You know, some of them saves he's done have pretty much, you know, a lot of them points that we've got recently, a lot of it comes down to him when you look at the amount of shots that teams are having, like Leeds and so on and so forth. So he's up there. Mm. You know what? Glenn Ray coming back for me.
Yeah, Glenn.
You know, it's like last season. When he was out all of that time, and you said last year, he was a runner for player of the season.
He was my player of the year last year, and he got injured back in December. Important Glenn Ray is.
He's massively important. But then, you know what? Sometimes I think you've got to look at it. When you look at a player that just gives it 110%, plays with the shirt, you know, gets knocked back after knockback with regards to chances, missing chances, but still comes back every single game and gives it his all. You've got to look at Harry Cornick. Like, you know, he's a good young player. He's got bags of enthusiasm and speed. But you imagine, so many games I go on Twitter, the lad is being knocked down.
Yeah.
He can't shoot. He can't do this. He can't do that. He will then come back the next game and he's going at it again and again. And then, let's be fair, that goal at Leeds proved to be
awesome.
a massively valuable one. So you know what? I'm going to go all out and I'm going to give it to Harry Cornick.
Well, if Harry Cornick scored more goals, he probably should have scored a few more goals this season. If he had have scored those goals, let's be honest, he wouldn't be playing with us. He would be in the Premier League.
You're totally right. He wouldn't be playing with us. And I think another thing people have got to remember is he's not a natural striker.
Mm.
He was more deemed as an attacking midfielder stroke winger. And, you know, Graham Jones has kind of sort of like changed him into that sort of more sort of striker role. But, you know, when it comes to a player playing for the shirt and giving it everything, you know, you've got to give it to him. The lad, he never stops running.
He scares people and he's made the step up very, very easy. What about you then, Graham? Who's been your player of the season?
Well, a lot of the names that have already been mentioned. Pelly, 100% every single week in, week out. Does get knockbacks, but I tell you what, there's no one else in that football team that wants the ball more than him.
Yeah.
But it's Harry Cornick for me.
Mm.
And I think, I think Darren's right. He gets knocked back on social media. But do you know what? From where he was to where he is now, you watch him go next season. Because I remember, Luton fans need to remember, if they were away, the away game at Cheltenham about 2 years ago, he hit every single seat in the away end. I tell you what, he's only doing that a couple of times now. Yeah. But I tell you, he gets in those positions so much easier now, and his pace is just—he just opens everything up. And you're right, if he could convert more regularly, he wouldn't be playing for us, end of. He would be in the Premiership. I don't care what anybody says.
If you look at the other night, that penalty, there's only one player in our team that could beat a player with that amount of pace and get the penalty, which ultimately led to the goal that kept us up. So that says it all about Harry Kornicker and what he gives, I think.
Yeah, you look at the Leeds goal, that was a Premier League striker's
goal. It's like Thierry Henry, that goal.
Yeah, if you watch that week in, week, I mean, that is just amazing what he did, that goal, you know, and he has got it in him, and I think more work on him next season. He's more experienced now. You watch him go next year. We'll be fighting off bidders for him, and I'm going to get a load of tweets probably now saying you don't know what you're talking about, but you watch him next season. And we'll probably come back to this next year and say, do you remember saying that? Yeah, I did. For me, and also for his haircut, you know, that's got to be Player of the Year for that, just to be fair.
Well, that's probably not a reason to give him Player of the Year, the haircut. I'm sure he's going to change that very soon. But what about Carter Vickers? We all agreed here that if we want to progress, he's got to stay. Get him on a year loan, sign him, do what you've got to do, just get him signed up.
I'll tell you now, and I'll tell you this for free, that guy has made a massive difference. It's his general persona. Even when you chat with him, he's very chilled out, you know, and he seems to be very relaxed on the pitch. I think where we've had lower league centre-halves, that, you know, pretty much it's no nonsense, isn't it? You know, if Sonny Bradley's got the ball or Matty Pearson got the ball, sometimes you're just better off just seeing them punt it up the pitch as hard as they can. With Carter Vickers, he's got a pass on him. Mm. He seems a lot calmer. He seems to sort of like work well with the back four in general as well. And I think as well, because him being there, I think that's why maybe, you know, Sluger's been a lot more confident as well.
Yeah, and can I also throw something in here as well, in terms of Nathan Jones and his management? Sonny Bradley and Carter Vickers playing very well together, but just when we needed him, Matty Pearson comes on for the last few minutes. And again, making that substitution at that moment, I thought was utter genius, because he won everything in the air, everything.
Yeah, Matty Pearson, I think he's really underrated. I think he's been great. You know, he's one of them signings where you raised eyebrows when he actually came to the club. It was a bit like, oh, hang on, he's not made it at Barnsley. What's to say he's going to make it of us? But he is that sort of Luton Town defender. He is that kind of guy that you want. He'll get that goal, but he puts in them tackles, he puts the head in where maybe others wouldn't. He's very much like sort of like a Chris Coyne sort of player.
Yeah.
And he's definitely someone you need in that team. He's brilliant.
What about you, Dylan? Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Carter Vickers, you know, he's such a brilliant, composed defender. But we also got to look at how he's impacted the team as well, in terms of we got him in, and when we went away to Swansea, who have Andre Ayew, who's the best player in the league, in my opinion, we put Matty Pearson at right back to mark him because we had Carter Vickers, and he is just so composed, and he just brought a calmness that maybe you don't get from Bradley or Pearson, and he just glued everything together for me.
He's so classy. Well, it's more than likely that the new season will once again start behind closed doors. Talk of fans coming back in October. Darren, you've been in charge of pumping out crowd noises into the stadium. I was watching you the other night, but to be perfectly honest, I was more interested in the game. So now is my opportunity to ask you, all of those noises, where did you get them from?
Some of them I brought.
Hang on, you bought them? How do you buy crowd noises?
Well, what it is, I brought some of them. The others I got off. The others I got off YouTube, because there's some ones that are royalty free. Especially the Luton Chant one. So I got the Luton Chants off there. I got the generic crowd sounds off another YouTube source. So I was pointed in the direction after the sort of like finding some ones that weren't so great. And a guy was like, you know, I've got this here, you know, you can use that. So we combined a couple of different generic crowd noises. So when, for example, Luton are on the attack, we use them both. If the other team are on the attack, we bring it down. But my favourite one, so me and Matty Crawley, we loved it. Whenever a player had a shot, I pushed the button and it does the whoo, and then the round of applause. And that was my favourite one. And I'm not going to lie, I bought that one for 79p off iTunes.
Oh,
and
bargain.
I'll tell you what, best purchase I've ever got. Fantastic.
But you are literally there throughout the whole game pressing the buttons. It's not a case of, well, if there's a corner or a goal, I'll press something. It's non-stop.
Yeah, it's pretty much relentless, because the thing is, like on that game, for example, it was most probably the hardest one, because I've got one eye on the game, I've got my hands doing the controls, I'm keeping the eye on the scores to message the board in the director's box to say what the scores are going in. And yeah, it was weird, but you know, you're right. You've literally got to have your finger on the pulse. You know, a player takes a shot, you've got I need to be pushing this button on my system. You know, a player does a great tackle, I need to be pushing a round of applause. Oh, someone's done that, right, let's put the whistles on. You know, it was relentless, but it was great fun doing it, and it was just great to be able to be there, if I'm being honest.
Dad, could you release an album?
Why not?
What, an album of Luton football chants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. I'll get it done.
Sell a few thousand copies and we could get a new midfielder.
You never know. It could happen, couldn't it?
We could sign Carter Vickers.
Yeah. Cameron Carter Vickers signed off the back of DJ Dazzler's Luton Town Anthems. But what I would say, Darren, and you've done a fantastic job with it, watching it on TV when you've got the fake sounds doesn't work. But when you actually, it's really weird, when you're in the stadium and you hear it, it actually sounds really good. Am I talking any sense there at all?
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, because it is weird. When you watch it on telly, see, I kind of like it on the telly, but I've noticed that sometimes the sounds are wrong, like they might shoot and it happens 2 seconds later or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like it, but I think the difference is when you're in Kenilworth Road and the way that the stadium is, and you've got those three big sides with the roofs going over, and being that it was predominantly the front speakers that were on, so the sound is kind of like echoing around. And it has that, it did have that sort of crowd sound to it, if you know what I mean. Like, it had that echo, it had, you know, that sort of intensity you'd get. So, yeah, no, it was definitely different, I'd say, but all good.
I think Mick Arford walked out for the drinks break and suddenly, button number two. One Mickey Arford, there's only one Mickey Arford.
I've done that every single game. So every time when he came out onto the pitch for the warm-up, I played it. And every time at the drinks plate, the break, the moment Matty goes, there he is, we pushed it again. You know, unfortunately, there was only one Nathan Jones chant on, well, two Nathan Jones chants online.
Bit fruity.
One we couldn't use, because obviously it was about being promoted. Just couldn't use that. And then the other one was a little bit fruity. And I thought, no, I'm not being that guy. I'm not doing that. So, yeah, I left that one well alone.
Interesting stuff. I'm now going to play some more clips from Wednesday night. This is my colleague, and I love this man again, Simon Oxley.
Simon Oxley's here from BBC Three Counties Radio. I don't know what's more entertaining, watching the game or watching you trying to tweet Simon.
Funny times, aren't they? Strange times. Who'd have thought? Press conferences on Zoom, you know, interviews with, you know, microphones on poles, me on Twitter. It's a crazy time.
So, you were at the baseball ground in the 90s. I was there as well. We had Notts County, the Derby County home game, the Mick Arford own goal, all these last day relegation scraps. Today, I think, was the most important of the lot, I would say.
I would say so. We were sort of discussing this, and we've been discussing it on and off over the course of the evening. I mean, arguably, in hindsight, losing at Notts County was because that was the season before the Premier League started. Yeah. What if they'd have got the Premier League money, etc., etc.? We'll never know. But just with everything that's going on, the fact that they've stayed in the Championship and the security, in inverted commas, that might bring, even if it's just for a season, is hugely important. And all with the Nathan Jones stuff as well. I mean, you know, you couldn't write this.
I'm going to drive home tonight and think, how did that happen? I never saw this coming in a million years.
Because there's nobody here, you're almost sort of, it's a bit surreal. Yeah. You think, actually, has it? When that first goal went in, I wasn't really sure it had happened because there was no sort of reaction at all. Has he given it? Has it got? Oh, yeah.
When the final whistle went, we all knew.
Yeah, we all knew then, yeah. Yeah, we all knew then.
Go and have a beer, Si. Thank you very much.
And this is Dave Tomorrow. Dave is a key worker. He's been doing a fantastic job this year. He works for the East of England Ambulance Service. He, again, was one of the lucky few that was inside Kenilworth Road on Wednesday.
It just felt so good.
You could hear the passion, not only from the players, but from the stands, because there's only a few people here. You could hear it all. This means, it's hard to put it into words, what this means to the people of this town.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it's been really hard. It's been really tough. And, you know, some people say, well, it's just football. But do you know what? This game every Saturday that people come here, the 10,000 that come here, it's more than a game to them. To them, this is their family, and you know, the people they meet here, the people that that congregate, the people they chat to, this is their family. And tonight, you know, Nathan did it, and Nathan nailed it tonight. You know, he came with a job, and the job has been done.
Okay, lastly, gents, predictions for next season, 1-24. Where do you think we're going to finish, Darren? We're going to start with you on this.
I'm going to say 11th.
11th. Dylan?
13th.
13th. And Graham, remember, everything you are saying is in the public domain and could be used against you in the future. Where do you think we are going to finish?
Because this is Luton Town, and because things are never easy being a Luton fan, I'm going for 7.
Oh. So a nail-biting finish again as we try to get into the playoffs next season, Graham.
Yeah.
This podcast could be out of date by Sunday afternoon, but I'm going to say it anyway. Who fancies playing Watford?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, that'll be brilliant.
Come on, Villa.
The thing is, there's so many people that will be listening to this podcast, and this is the real shame for me. There'll be so many people listening to this that have never experienced that local derby.
And it'll be the first game behind closed doors you watch.
Well, Justin, I'm one of them.
You've never seen a Luton-Watford game?
Nope.
Oh.
No, I've never seen it. But I will be the first one at Vicarage Road if we're allowed there, because that will be unbelievable, that.
Well, if Watford, and again, this could be completely out of date, so if you are listening after the Watford game, that they may well have stayed up, I don't know. But if they do go down and we play Watford next season, you can just imagine, can't you? When you type it into the computer, the behind closed doors games in September, make sure there's Luton versus Watford and Watford versus Luton in the same month in September. Somebody will be saying, put that in the computer. And it will be sod's law, that's what will happen.
If not, we need to do a podcast buff.
Can you imagine? Guys, it's been one of the most incredible seasons. Well, it has been. The most incredible season that I've ever experienced for all sorts of reasons. It has just been crazy. Thank you so much for your time, guys. Enjoy what's left of your summer, and we will see you in September, yeah? And hopefully by then, we can actually shake each other's hands. Be nice, wouldn't it?
Brilliant.
Lovely. That'd be beautiful. In fact, Justin, I think I might embrace you if I can go one step further. Well, like, I don't know how you feel about that.
The other night, we nearly had a kiss because it was in the heat of the moment. We had just stayed up and Darren says, come here, give me a kiss. And I'm like, social distancing? No, I better not. It was weird, wasn't it, Darren? It was strange.
It was strange. There were some hugs going on there, though, Justin. I'm not going to lie. We all had our temperatures checked. We knew we was all okay. So, you know, it was all good.
Walking into football stadium, when you've got a doctor there, and they're putting something in your ear before you can go into a football stadium. I mean, it's just... Oh. But it's what we're dealing with, and we've got to do what we can do. Gents, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back with the Luton Town Fans podcast once again in the Championship. Thanks for listening.